Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Karan.
Hey guys.
And we are coming to you live from Gurgaon to kick this season off, Karan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know the Premier League has already started and we don't get into Premier League discussions and narratives usually till about the third or fourth week of the league, because...
basically after two Jose meltdowns.
So we'll see if there are any Jose meltdowns coming. Or if Arsenal fans discover how to spell Emery out soon enough. So far the Premier League started last week and it's gone to script mostly. So not much to discuss over there, Karan. Mm-hmm. But we want to discuss about the other leagues. And of course, usually when we kick the season off with an episode featuring you, generally it is the Serie A. Mm-hmm. We typically used to do about one episode a year.
Last year we did two.
And this year, if early indications are any guide, we'll probably be doing way more than that. Because since the World Cup, when we potted last, and to the start of the season, which is now, a lot has happened in between, Karan.
Well, that's an understatement. A gross understatement.
Even in the off-season, the Serie A has been an absolutely top-notch soap opera. Of course, we will talk about the trade of the summer. A team looking for championship glory and to bring back its glory of the yesteryear, signing up the big star from another star-studded team. I refer, of course, to LeBron James signing for LA. I turned off mistaken. We are talking about Karan, of course. Mm-hmm. The one and only game in town right now. Uh-huh. That is Cristiano Ronaldo to Juventus. Quick recap of that absolutely astonishing trade, please. Although most of our listeners know, but your take on just what went down there.
For a long time, probably all Juventus fans were just, pinching themselves, thinking, is it real? Is it actually real? Or are they in some contorted universe of the Matrix?
And right. This is a good time to remind our listeners that Karan works in a firm which deals with stock market and market moving events. And Karan, there was madness with the Juve stock.
Absolutely.
In the days leading up to the speculation about the Ronaldo.
Exactly. I mean, just the fact that Ronaldo was, basically linked to... Juventus, pushed their stocks up by almost 15 to 17%, and the fact that after he signed, the stock has risen almost close to 32 to 33% is just maddening numbers.
It's insane.
Even Bitcoins couldn't do this.
33% rise in the share because of just one star being signed. If the stock market is sending any indication there. I guess it's mostly that they don't understand anything about football. or do they? So let's try to dissect this slightly, Karan. Uh-huh. This big move was followed by, of course, Gonzalo Higuain's departure from Juventus. Mm-hmm. And of course, in between, there was the small matter of Leonardo Bonucci, who had signed for AC Milan just last year, mm-hmm. has decided to come back to Juventus. Of course, a lot of controversy, etc. But current setting the controversy, the hype, and everything else aside, just put these triangulate of movements in perspective for us.
I'll try, but we might probably need an entire season to explain everything here. But when the rumors first surfaced about Ronaldo, honestly, I didn't believe him because, come on, why would I? Why would I? Right? But having said that, then as they started to get steam, even then, there were a lot of talk that, it was just a case of, we've heard this before. Maybe just one of those, classic early summer, newspaper article summary had nothing else to write about. So, that's why they've come up with something like this. But it at no point in time did it ever go away. And then finally, when it actually happened, it it literally came as a shock, more so for Juventus fans, like I mentioned, than probably the rest of the world. But having said that, what this actually does is it kind of improves the Juventus brand globally, because let's face it, 70% of all football revenue comes from casual slash plastic fans. They move merchandise, and they are going to move with Ronaldo to Juventus.
For environmental reasons, going forward in this podcast, we'll be calling them casual fans.
Absolutely.
Plastic doesn't sound very environmental.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the fact that I was, and another stat, right, since Ronaldo's signing to Juventus, the number of Facebook likes, the number of social media social media accounts who basically started following Juventus has increased by almost 1 million to 2 million. So that just improves the their brand right there.
So and you were mentioning that the role that the Champions League plays in terms of tying together the casual fan. Do you want to elaborate on
that?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. So it's a bit like a chicken and an egg kind of a story, right? Now, a casual fan is always going to associate success with the Champions League. Though, as true football fans, we know that winning a league title is a lot harder than probably winning a Champions League. But that aside, casual fans will always associate that with success with the Champions League. And because of that, now the fact that, with Ronaldo there is going to be that much more expectation for Juventus to win the Champions League. And when they do, then it's going to probably, increase their revenues and their following that much more. So it's a whole basket.
Ronaldo looks like a signing which was specifically made with the Champions League in mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, and given the situation at Real, the opportunity just presented itself.
Right.
Juventus took it expertly. Mm-hmm. Quickly, Karan, a lot of Juventus fans have not been happy about Gonzalo Higuain's moving out. But again, you have a cold financial perspective to provide to all this.
It's pretty simple. I mean, yes, it is a bit unfortunate, Higuain moving out, but it was a necessary evil. If it reaches a point where we had to choose between Ronaldo and Higuain, I think it's pretty obvious where our money really should be at. Higuain's done very well for 2 years, but reached a point where with Ronaldo signing, which at no point of time was planned, it just basically fell onto their lap. Now they had to basically do something to balance the books. And in order to do that, they had to sell Higuain, who was the highest earner. The fact that we associate, big spending only with transfer fee is a bit misguided, because we also need to take into account player wages. So that, with Higuain, including all your amortization costs, etc., he was basically the most expensive individual at the club at that point of time, excluding Ronaldo. So it was a necessary evil, and good luck to him in AC Milan.
No, that's right. So Higuain is heading over to Milan, but then let's talk about return goods from Milan and what is fast becoming the Ross and Rachel story of the football world. Should they be together? Should they not be together? Where are they on a break? Leonardo Bonucci and Juventus. Again, cold-cut, dispassionate, because it has raised a lot of controversy.
Yes.
From the fans, understandably so, because, people are talking about loyalty and things like that. But then again, Bonucci is coming back. Does it add something to the Juve backline? Does it add something overall?
Yeah. I mean, probably a lot of fans might disagree with this, but I would say yes, it does add a lot. It adds much-needed solidity to the back, which was woefully missing last season in the Juventus defense. I mean, I have nothing against Benatia. He is a very good player. He's a good defender. But he is somebody who, there is always one mistake in him in a 90-minute period. Now, if you're lucky, it might happen some early in the game. If you're not, as we found out at the Santiago Bernabeu, it might happen with about 30 seconds left in the game. But yeah, jokes aside, I just feel that I wouldn't blame only Bonucci for the acrimonious situation that was created last time around. I would blame the club also equally, because it was important, if there was some sort of a misunderstanding between parties, for everybody to basically come together and work out their differences for the betterment of the team, which did not happen. So, they parted ways, etc. Fine, he came back, he scored. Fans are not happy over the fact that, he celebrated when he scored against Juventus. I say, just get over it, right? But coming back to the point, he does add a lot of solidity to the Juventus defense, because last season, one thing is, as we know, knowing football for a long time, the most important aspect in any football team are the two center backs. The understanding between them and the goalkeeper is critical, and which is what Bonucci lacked.
Thank you for reminding a Liverpool fan that, Karan.
I mean, give it time. But yeah, so, I mean, last season, Bonucci was a failure at Milan simply because he didn't have anybody who he could kind of develop the partnership with. And Juventus struggled in their defense because Chiellini, who in many ways made Bonucci what he is in his heyday, Chiellini was always worried about where Benatia's next mistake is going to come. So he was never able to kind of completely concentrate on his game. So I think it is a match made in heaven, as much as people would like to probably, you know, think otherwise. But it is to the benefit, and let's face it, he is one of the very, very few ball-playing centre-backs around in world football right now.
All right, so those are your takes of the triangulate of the three of the biggest pieces of transfer news this summer, actually, because even if you look at the Premier League and there have been a few high-profile signings and all that, somehow all the excitement, even in the La Liga, so much hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, besides Wolverhampton Wolves raiding half of Portugal's cabinet, there really hasn't been a lot of movement on the transfer market, but it's been rather amazing in Serie A, which probably augurs well. Quick word, Karan, before we kind of close, on the other mover and the shaker in the Serie A transfer market.
Yeah, I mean, Inter Milan have been very, very busy in the market. They are definitely a team to look out for. You know, Asamoah, a player who is one of the most versatile players in Italy, was signed on a free transfer from Juventus. I mean, as much as everybody likes to talk about the Ronaldo transfer, that was an extremely, extremely fabulous piece of business. A central midfielder who is capable of playing at left back. So that is the kind of versatility we're talking about on a free transfer. That is one definitely to look out for. Verdasco, the Croatian right back they signed from Atletico Madrid, very good signing. Nainggolan from Roma, another very, very good signing. And just the other day, they've signed Keita Badedeo from Monaco, who also has experience with Lazio, who almost signed for Juventus a couple of seasons back from Lazio. So Inter Milan, definitely, you know, a team to watch out for. Roma have also kind of impressed, but definitely not to the level of what, you know, Inter or Juventus have. AC Milan suddenly out of the blue after they've kind of straightened out all their, you know, bank deposit issues and banking fiascos. They've suddenly made some real movements.
I guess that's what you get for your but then could we expect a more competitive Serie A, current number one and number two? How do you see Juventus specifically in the Champions League? Because surely that is what the big fish is right now.
Well, no, I'll put it this way, there's no more excuses. They're going to have to do it one way or the other. I mean, there's still an area of concern in the Juventus squad, which is their midfield, because you take Pjanic out of that midfield, there is virtually zero creativity. So whatever creativity comes, it either has to come from the attacking third with people like Costa, Bernardeschi, Ronaldo himself and Dybala, or it has to come from a centre-back if you keep Pjanic out. So there is concern there, but I still feel there is enough. Now it's a case where, you know, they need to make sure that they get to the latter stages, semi-finals, finals, and it's reaching that particular point where at some point in time they're going to have to win it if they really, you know.
Well, they have, I mean, to be fair to Juventus, over the last two or three seasons, they have shown that they definitely have the capability to go deep into this tournament.
If they can get the tactics right, that is a very, very critical point, because Allegri has this very, very annoying habit with the kind of attacking talent that he has of completely going negative. So we
are about to find out. It's going to be a fascinating season, which is why, for the first time in history, Serie A actually leads a season at Soccer Sense, and we begin from there. We'll be looking at the other leagues, of course, when it is time to do so and when the leagues begin. But for now, we're looking forward to another great football season, Karan.
Oh yes, absolutely.
And we shall be back for our listeners with our first episode of the English Premier League in a couple of weeks' time. By when, hopefully, like I said, the first scheduled Jose meltdown may have happened.
And the first scheduled Vishal heart attack.
And we shall keep a track of all of that. You can keep a track of us on Twitter at SenseSoccer, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Pocket Cast, or Audio Boom. You can visit our channel, audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. In the meantime, that's all the time we have for this week. This is Tariq signing off, along with Karan.
See you guys.
And we shall see you next week.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.